Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
So we have a fundamentally flawed federal investigation. We have a dead Border Patrol agent. We have hundreds of dead Mexican citizens, thousands of weapons with America's fingerprints on both sides of the border, unaccounted for, and a demonstrably false letter being written to a committee of Congress, and yet we're being asked for more time. Please wait. Give it more time. It's been over a year, Mr. Chairman. Our fellow citizens, the ones we're supposed to work for, when they get a jury summons, do you think they have a choice on whether or not to comply? When they get a subpoena from a law enforcement agency, do you think our fellow citizens get to offer an extraordinary accommodation in lieu of providing the documents? Either Congress has the authority to send a subpoena and require full compliance, or what we have been doing for the past 12 months is a fool's errand.
Well, you all know the scandal. The scandal is the refusal on the part of the President of the United States of America to cooperate with a governmental oversight committee and saying that, executive privilege applies. What's strange, though, is that he's asserting executive privilege over documents he said he never saw. So what is he lying about? The real question to you, the audience, is this. Do you actually know what Fast and Furious is? Do you actually know what Obama and Holder are hiding? Do you actually know how many hundreds of people died as a result of them smuggling guns to Mexico? Do you actually know why they sent significant automatic weapons to violent drug cartels in Mexico? Do you have any idea why they did this? You probably do in some cases, but most of you don't. You may have heard Fast and Furious and put it aside. You may have heard about guns to Mexico and put it aside. Big deal. What you don't know is this is a big deal. What you don't know is this is a criminal conspiracy at the highest reaches of government. It would bring down a government in a real democracy. However, since we do not live in a real democracy, it's unlikely this will go very far. However, I should inform you that my final chapter, Tyranny of the Anti-Justice Department, in Trickle-Down Tyranny, explains all of the above, and I'm not going to read it to you. What you have to know is that Eric Holder, through the ATF, sold weapons to Mexican drug cartels. Why? Why did they do this? Why would the U.S. government sell weapons to drug cartels? Does anyone understand why? What was the thinking behind the Obama administration in sending such weapons to Mexico? Certainly they didn't want to kill Border Patrol agent Brian Terry. Certainly they didn't want to see hundreds of Mexican citizens executed with these weapons. So what were they trying to do? What were they trying to achieve in their Fast and Furious gun-running scandal? I'll explain more on the Savage Nation. Who is Eric Holder? What is Eric Holder's background? Who is Eric Holder really working for? Let me read you something. I explained to you that the crash of the Chinook helicopter, in which more than 20 Navy SEALs were killed, very probably happened because the flight was sabotaged by someone in the Obama administration. I've also told you that Barack Obama and Eric Holder have not instituted an investigation of the death of those Navy SEALs. Instead, they're focusing on investigating our own patriots. I could go on and I will tell you that this scandal around Holder is only a very, very minor one compared to what the man is actually doing. He is one of the most dangerous attorney generals in American history. It's as though a criminal was put into the top lawyer's position. You say it can't happen here. I say it has happened here. You say that it's just a political posturing and a political season. I would say then you don't really understand what's going on. Why is Holder under such fire? Why is he refusing to turn over these documents? Let us say you're a diehard liberal Democrat and you're very uncomfortable by this situation but you're fair-minded. You have to ask yourself the one pregnant question. The one pregnant question is, what is Obama hiding? What is Holder hiding? In other words, if you're living in a government of the people, by the people, and for the people, if you're living with a transparency that Obama said we would have, Obama said this will be the most transparent administration in history, even a fair-minded liberal would have to say, what are they hiding? What's so damning that they're hiding this? What's in those documents? So we, the people, have to ask ourselves, what are in those documents that Obama doesn't want us to see? What are in those documents that Eric Holder is struggling so hard to protect? Why are they doing this? Well, in order to understand what's going on today, you have to understand more about Fast and Furious. You have to understand that a gang has taken over the United States of America. Think of it this way. A gang has taken over the United States of America. Or think of it this way. A gang has taken over the United States of America. Or if that doesn't work, think of it this way. A foreign gang has taken over America. Or if that doesn't work, think of it this way. A group of foreigners are manipulating a criminal cartel who have taken over the United States government. Or if that doesn't work for you, let's look at it this way. The government that we have under Obama is a criminal government. Or if that doesn't work for you, let's look at it another way. Obama's an illegitimate president who manipulated the population and manipulated the vote with money we don't know where it came from to import to us a criminal administration of gangsters and by gangsters. If that doesn't work for you, we have the most corrupt administration in American history. If that doesn't work for you, nothing will work for you. Now, what about Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano, better known as Big Sis? What does she have to do with all of this? Instead of focusing on sealing our southern border, she announced that she was more concerned with white racist groups hiding in the mountains of Idaho and the sparsely populated deserts of West Texas. Instead of focusing on sealing our southern border from the hordes of illegal aliens, wrecking our economy, invading our nation, Napolitano is looking for white racists in the mountains of Idaho. Do you think that that acknowledges the real problems in this country? What exactly is going on in this world that these people can get away with this and that the media will cover for them? What kind of world are you living in that low-life rats like Wolf Blitzer will talk about the weather instead of talking about the greatest scandal to have hit the administration, 2 in 1 week, by the way? Just the other day, Obama exerted executive privilege in order to grant amnesty to 1 million illegal aliens at least. Now he invokes executive privilege to hide documents behind the smuggling of machine guns and other weapons to Mexico. Why? What are they hiding? What do you think there is inside those documents, rather, that they don't want you to see? I know the answer, by the way. I do know the answer. I'm not going to give it all to you in the first 8 minutes of the show. If you bought trickle-down tyranny, I explain it in a full page. In other words, what were they trying to achieve by smuggling these guns into Mexico? What about the key ATF players who worked with Holder and Obama to hide the gun walking? What were they trying to achieve by sending these weapons to drug cartels? Do you have any idea what they were trying to do? I'll give you a hint. They were trying to set up a justification for seizing your weapons. Now, there's more sound that must be played. Perhaps the most interesting one is of perhaps the most interesting sound from today is the totally incompetent, totally incomprehensibly incompetent Carol Baloney from New York trying to cover up what Obama and Holder are doing here. Play Baloney.
I must say, Mr. Chairman, I am offended personally by your calling the Attorney General a liar. And it's extremely disrespectful and attacking to our public servant.
Well, here's a woman from New York, Carolyn Baloney, I call her affectionately to get your attention because she's full of it. She's like a tube of baloney, this woman. Never belonged in Congress to begin with, in my estimation. There she is sitting on the House Oversight Committee saying that the House Oversight Committee has no right to conduct any oversight over the Attorney General. This is the equivalent of Libya sitting on the Human Rights Committee. This is the equivalent of Syria sitting on a Human Rights Committee in the UN acting outraged if somebody were to investigate human rights abuses in Syria. I'm outraged that this woman is even in Congress, let alone on such a committee. So let's go to the callers on the Savage Nation. Are you interested in this or not? Fast and Furious, what is it? It allowed some 2,000 guns to be walked into the hands of Mexican drug cartel gunmen. Who sent the guns there? The U.S. Justice Department, the Department of Homeland Security. It was under the direct, by the way, administration of the ATF. Why were they doing it? Why were they sending these guns to Mexico? It's very simple, because then they could say that we need further gun control measures. Unfortunately, two Fast and Furious guns are directly linked with the slaying of Border Patrol agent Brian Terry. Several hundred Mexicans were killed with these illegally trafficked firearms, and the Attorney General is deeply involved in this, as is the President of the United States, in my opinion. 1-800-449-8255. If you care to join this conversation, then you're awake and alive. If you care not to join this conversation, then you don't belong to live in the United States of America. You should be living in Syria. I'll be right back.
Savage.
All right, so the second big scandal of the week has hit the American people from this administration. The first was the granting of amnesty to almost 1 million illegal aliens with hardly a peep from Romney. I've covered that for 2 days. Now we wake up to the fact that the President of the United States himself, who said he had nothing to do with the gun smuggling operation to Mexico, is hiding the documents. Now, let us say you're a liberal Democrat or an undecided voter and you don't really know what it's all about. Don't you want to know what's in the documents that Holder and Obama are hiding? Tell me what the justification would be to hide these documents. Let's start with that. Let's take the complete other side. What right do they have to hide documents? Either we live in an open society, in a free society, or we don't. So if we live in a free society, we have a right to see the documents that Obama is now hiding under executive privilege. It's that simple. Now you have to ask yourself the bigger question. What are they hiding? What are they hiding? And why are they hiding it? Well, let me explain it to you. I will explain it to you in plain detail. Page 244, Trickle Down Tyranny. It's a key chapter in my book. I saved it for chapter 10. Operation Fast and Furious transformed Project Gunrunner into a chaotic, agenda-driven, political fiasco that abandoned its original mandate and became another egghead nightmare put together and then covered up by the president in collusion with Holder's corrupted and incompetent anti-justice department. So I wrote that for you in the book. Now, what was their intent? Page 245. The administration's intent was to use Project Fast and Furious to confirm their bias against the Second Amendment, to demonstrate that gun ownership is dangerous, and that the gun shops in Arizona needed to be shut down. That would be the first step. As I think the administration's logic concluded, to their being able to argue for the closing of gun shops all around the country. Now, as you well know, Carol Baloney is a gun grabber. She's an anti-gun fanatic, and she made a disgrace of herself today in a way I could not even imagine. Here is an oversight committee on which this woman sits, and she has the nerve to say that we on the oversight committee have no right to have oversight over Obama and Holder. She should be thrown off that committee immediately for taking such a position. It's the equivalent of someone from Syria sitting on a human rights commission saying no one has a right to investigate what Syria is doing with regard to human rights. I found this to be one of the most blatantly subversive criminal operations ever engaged in by any administration in the history of this country. The stated purpose of this project, Fast and Furious, the stated purpose was to trace the gun traffic in order to stop it by apprehending the drug cartel kingpins to whom the guns were delivered. That was the stated purpose. In the process, though, the Department of Justice and ATF higher-ups instructed Fast and Furious operatives to continue surveillance but to cease interdiction. Page 244, Trickle-Down Tyranny. The real reason for ATF allowing high-powered weapons to be walked to drug cartel kingpins in Mexico is far more disturbing. It was designed to generate data so that Barack Obama could prove that U.S. gun shops were responsible for illegal weapon sales and needed to be shut down. The Obama administration had for a long time falsely asserted, quote, that more than 90% of the guns recovered in Mexico come from the United States, many from gun shops that line our shared border, close quote. If great numbers of U.S. weapons showed up at crime scenes in Mexico, the administration's anti-gun position could be bolstered. So some 2,000 high-caliber assault weapons some sources report up to 3,000, were ultimately sold and delivered in this manner as a result of Obama and Holder, which they're now covering up. And I'll tell you more about it in a moment. What about the man who was killed? Do you know anything about Mr. Terry being killed? Do you know why he was killed and what he was killed with? Remember, there's somebody dead here. You know, you could say, well, I don't care about dead Mexicans. Well, I do care about dead Mexicans. I also care about a Border Patrol agent who was executed with one of these guns. Do you know why he was killed? Do you know how he was killed? Do you know what rules of engagement he was working under? Do you have any idea? Brian Terry, who was killed, was known as a cop's cop. A former U.S. Marine, he was a member of an exclusive fraternity, a BORTAC, Border Patrol Tactical Unit, the Border Patrol's equivalent of a police SWAT team. Do you know what happened? He was forced to fire blanks while the cartels were firing machine guns at him. Do you know why he was forced to fire blanks? Because one of the first things Obama did when he took power in this country was turn the Border Patrol under the direct supervision, you guessed it, of Janet Napolitano. And one of the first things Napolitano did was tell the Border Patrol agents to arm themselves with blanks. On the night of December 14, 2010, page 246, Trickle Down Tyranny, one of the agents in Terry's group, using thermal night vision binoculars, spotted this small group of men. He identified himself and ordered the illegals to drop their weapons. Here's what happened when the illegals refused to comply. Two Border Patrol agents deployed, are you ready? Two Border Patrol agents deployed less than lethal beanbags to the suspected aliens. At this time, at least one of the suspected aliens fired at the Border Patrol agents. Two agents returned fire, one with his long gun and one with his pistol. Border Patrol agent Brian Terry was shot with one bullet and died shortly thereafter. One of the suspected illegal aliens, later identified as Manuel Osorio Arellanes, was also shot. Beanbags. Did you get that? Page 246, it's confirmed. If you own a gun and you don't have this page from Trickle Down Tyranny, then you don't have all the information you need to spread the word and to ring the alarm that we're living in the most dangerous times in American history. Did you get that? With the takeover of the Obama regime in 2009, the president began installing his left-wing fanatic Confederates in positions of power.
Savage.
Okay, Eric Holder was held in contempt today for refusing to hand over documents related to the smuggling of machine guns and other weapons to Mexico. So let's say you're a Democrat who listens to Michael Savage just to hear what the opposition has to say. How do you justify hiding documents? On what basis can you justify Eric Holder and the President of the United States hiding documents unless they got something to hide? There's no other way to describe this. They're hiding something. They've got something to hide. The guns were used to kill a Border Patrol agent, a wonderful Marine who was killed because he was forced to use beanbags instead of guns, again because of Holder and Napolitano and the president. He had to fire beanbags at drug cartel members, and then he was killed with a machine gun supplied by this government. Do you have any idea how big this is? If we lived in a sane nation, there'd be much more to this story in the media, but there isn't. I have a lawyer on the air, holding on the line. He's actually a friend of mine and my attorney. I respect Daniel very much. Politically, I think that we don't agree on many things. I don't really know. I don't even talk politics with him. Daniel Horowitz, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. Glad to be here. Thank you.
Daniel, how would you describe yourself politically for my audience?
Well, I think I'm in favor of the working person. If you work 40 hours a week, you're entitled to a health plan, fair pay, and you shouldn't have the government reach in your pocket and give it to people who want to sit around and watch TV and eat potato chips. That's
all right,
politics.
So that's basically it without a label. So let's move on. You're a criminal defense attorney. You've seen the inside of many federal courtrooms. What justification would there be in this case for them to hide documents unless they're hiding something?
Well, you hit the nail right on the head. They are hiding something. This has been a cover-up since February 4th, 2011, when they wrote the first of many lies where they claimed that the guns weren't going to Mexico, that the Bush administration knew what was going on, so what they did was not so bad. You know, Michael, I went to your website today, and there's a great article. It's the article you have up there with the picture of Eric Holder. I think everybody should click on that because it refers to an article that has all the core documents. There's just lie after lie, and they only are lying because they're guilty of something very big.
Yeah, look, here we have a House Oversight Committee. Their job is to conduct oversight over various and sundry aspects of the government, right? And yet you have a member of the committee, Carolyn Maloney, Democrat, New York, saying she's outraged that an oversight committee would conduct oversight. I've never seen anything like that, Daniel.
Right, Michael. And the point that keeps bothering me is that Holder and the Justice Department lied to Congress about this. They covered it up, and then Congress caught them. And all of a sudden, now that the lies aren't working, they want to claim executive privilege as if they don't have to say anything. It's like somebody would testify in a criminal case, lie to the jury, and then when they get caught with the lie, say, oh, I want to take the Fifth Amendment about everything. Once you open the door and you get caught in the lie, you know, the game's on. The game's on. Let's find what really happened.
Daniel, you know a lot of high-powered Democrats. Wouldn't they be in favor of seeing what those documents contain? I mean, to be fair about it.
Well, you know, it's so interesting. You know, Attorney Marty Garbus, who you and I have worked with and we respect quite a bit, is a darling of the left wing. And he knows Eric Holder. He even likes him. But I know Marty would like to see what's there as well.
Are you sure?
I'm sure.
I hope you're not speaking out of turn, because no. Marty is a certifiable leftist of the highest order. I mean, you and I both know that I've argued with Marty about some of his representations and pretty vociferous.
You don't think he should represent Fidel Castro?
No, I don't think he should represent Chavez and Castro. No, I don't.
Represent Castro. I don't think he minds so much. It's interesting. But no, he wants to get to the bottom of it also. Now, he thinks ultimately Holder will come clean, you know, and will be clean if the truth was known. Marty's a big First Amendment guy. He's a Democrat who believes that the truth should come out. Where you and he may differ is that his truth is that the left wing is right, and your truth is that they're insane.
Well, let's forget who's insane. We know that liberalism is largely peopled by mentally disordered people who are on Prozac. But aside from that, Dan, truthfully, come on. Are there any liberals who would argue that the president has a right to invoke executive privilege because there are documents that would make him look bad? That's not the purpose of executive privilege, is it?
Well, you know, when you invoke a privilege, what you're basically saying is let the courts decide. And it's human nature when you're under the gun to invoke privilege and at least put up a barrier and delay, delay, delay. So I get it. I mean, executive privilege exists so that partisan politics don't sort of get into the bedroom of the executive branch. There has to be some privacy in communications. I get that. But in this case, they opened the door, they lied to Congress, and now when they got caught, they don't want Congress to see what really went on. And that's what bothers me the most about this assertion of executive privilege. Had they done it at the beginning, turn the documents over to a fair and neutral judge, if there are any, and the judge would say, well, some of these are relevant to what Congress wants to know, some of these are not, and they have to do with how Holder and Obama talk to each other, and segregated things out. That would have been okay. But now it's a cover-up, and it's a big difference between using a privilege legitimately and using it as part of a cover-up. That's where I'm angry at them.
All right. Now, you used the key word, Daniel Horowitz. You said cover-up. That set off memory bells in my head of Watergate and a giant cover-up that led to the resignation of President Nixon.
Right.
Do you think this case is as big a case as Watergate?
Michael, it's like you've been saying, we don't know, but they would not be acting the way they're acting if they didn't have something to hide, right?
Well, that's what I think.
That's what I mean, keep hearing you say.
To me, all it's going to do is make even good liberals say, what are they hiding? Look, Dan, let's make believe we're all sitting in a living room. What are they hiding?
They're hiding.
What?
I mean, you're right.
What are they hiding?
I mean, what, are they just saying we want privilege, we don't want to tell you what's there? Because if we did tell you, you'd know that we're good guys, we're totally honest, and we didn't do anything wrong. That's not what's going on.
Daniel, I just got a flash that set me off. That I'm going to throw out here that no one's ever thought of. You know I can think around the corner sometimes, right?
Yes.
You know what I think they're doing here? I think they're playing a game with the Republican committee. What they're going to do is actually release those documents, and it's going to make them look good. After all of the hue and cry, they're going to embarrass the Republicans. Is that a possibility?
Well, Michael, it's a good possibility, and that's, you know, that's the type of chess master thinking, you know, that has people like me. And because remember, I listened to your show long before we became friends. That's why we listen to you. Yes, hearing what you say, it could be what they're planning, or worse, they're buying time so that they can destroy documents and cover up their wrongdoing. That's the other possibility.
Well, let me go to my reverse paranoiac idea. Okay, remember what happened with the birth certificate allegation? Remember? It went on for years and years and years. Then Trump came out with the allegation, and virtually within days, Obama produces a document which is allegedly the birth certificate, which allegedly put it to rest, which embarrassed the birthers, right?
I guess they were embarrassed, yes. Yeah,
well, okay, no, there's still a huge industry that says he's not an American citizen, but it more or less took the steam out of the opposition, did it not?
Okay, I'm with you on that, yes.
All right, so now follow the logic. They're actually playing the Republicans who are running after them for these documents, and they're saying, we're not going to give them to you. Now, all of a sudden, the big hue and cry goes on for another few weeks, and then Holder and he either make up new documents. I mean, after all, couldn't they forge documents which make them look good?
Oh, I think they can and will forge documents, and I think they'll particularly destroy documents, and they need to buy time. Because when you destroy documents, you have to figure out where every single one went and retrieve it covertly. And that's why cover-ups take time. So I think they are covering it up one way or the other. You know, Michael, what really bothers me, I have to say this, is this entire operation makes no sense. We already know who the drug dealers are in Mexico. We know who has the guns. We know everything this operation would tell us. The exact line of distribution from A to Z is really not very important. So I don't understand the real purpose of this operation in the first place. I really don't.
Oh, no, Dan, I described it in the Trickle-Down Tyranny, which I gave you a copy of, but you're going to fail the exam, the final exam, because on page 245 I explained it. I'm going to read it in one paragraph. They wanted to confirm their bias against the Second Amendment to demonstrate that gun ownership is dangerous and the gun shops in Arizona were the ones selling the weapons to Mexico and they needed to be shut down. So the object here was to weaken the Second Amendment by going after the gun stores in Arizona.
All right. Now, I'm going to tell you something that's not privilege. I just ran it through my head, but it does come from a major criminal case that I have right here in Northern California. The methamphetamine trade, a lot of the drugs come from Mexico to the United States where they're sold. A good deal of the payment for those drugs is not in cash, but in guns, which are shipped to Mexico. So this whole attempt to frame the gun dealers in Arizona in a bad light at page 245 of your book, it's a conspiracy against them because it's not nearly the correct picture. What I just told you comes from DEA interrogations and from a mass of materials that I have. That's a very major source.
This gets worse by the minute, Dan, and I'm sure my audience is hanging on every word because the last you were on my show is when that wonderful organization, Council on American Islamic Relations, which is a joke unto itself, just the name itself is enough to make you choke, sued me and you defended me. Remember that case?
I remember that, and I also know on your website you had an article where recently the Muslim Brotherhood and Hamas lobbed bombs into Israel.
Yes.
The Egyptian Muslim Brotherhood ordered Hamas to do it. And guess what? That is Hamas. They're tied to Hamas. They raise money for Hamas. So sure,
this administration has gone soft on CARE, haven't they? They use CARE as advisors.
Oh, yeah. This administration is, in my opinion, they were supported by CARE. During the election, CARE put out an election booklet that, in a very subtle way, supported pro-Hamas candidates. And Obama, in their view anyway, was more pro-Hamas than John McCain or anyone else.
Dan Horowitz, another question. There's a hue and cry right now amongst the politically, let us say, aware conservatives in the United States of America, which is a very small minority of people in this country. You know the vast majority don't know anything about this and will remain dumb because the media has gone on to the weather on the East Coast rather than this. Do you think this is going to get bigger or smaller?
Well, you see, for me, I can only judge myself, and I am more liberal than you by far. And yet I'm angry, and you can tell I'm angry. I think this is going to get big, because even though there's a chance they'll succeed in their cover-up and destroying documents and try to embarrass the, you know, the Republicans in Congress, I don't think so. I think there is direct involvement of the Obama administration in covering this up with Holder to avoid embarrassment. This is a very narcissistic president. He cares more about his image than what's good for the United States. And I think he was part of the cover-up. I think it's a type of Watergate. My concern, Michael, is that with Watergate, we were able to or wanted to destroy Nixon when we found out his role. Here, Obama could be just as guilty on something much more serious, because a brave man, as you pointed out, was murdered because
right.
of this operation. And yet I right. think it'll just fall off his back like water off a duck.
Why? Because of this, of the spineless media? I mean, is that the reason? They're just going to brush it aside?
I think that's part of it, and I'm afraid that the public is not angry enough and not cowed and afraid. I mean, your audience is very powerful and very strong, but you know, how many people do you have? You know, listen to 10 million people. You know, this is a country. They've got, you know, people watching CNN. They got 10 million cowards watching CNN who believe yeah. anything that Anderson Cooper says. So
yes.
I'm concerned. And,
you know, you said something to me on the phone, Dan, something on the phone about our generation. You're a little younger than I am, but you're still, you know, you're over 50. You said that we have a certain worldview that once we're gone, virtually, you were talking about Obama and that generation having virtually no ethics whatsoever. Isn't that what you're implying?
I think so, Michael. I mean, you came, and I came from a generation where, you know, Hitler had just been defeated by people somewhat older than us. They gave up their lives, their youth, their entire 5, 6, 7 years of the fighting against the Germans, and they cared about something. These young kids care about whether they have a good iPad or an iPod and what the latest techno boring music, you know, does for them with girls or boys. How are they going to get upset when by a policy that the Justice Department puts into place? They don't care.
So it doesn't matter. It has no meaning to people who are simply watching which slut in Hollywood ripped which dress on Sunset Boulevard in an ecstasy stupor.
Yeah, I wish I could talk like you, but yes, that's what I
mean. I'm sorry to be so graphically blunt. Daniel Daniel Horowitz, as usual, an amazing interchange with you. I'm sure my audience is scintillated. Maybe we'll have you back tomorrow when the audience has a chance to think about it and you could answer some questions.
Good, and I'd love to hear what they have to say when they call in today also. Thank you.
Oh, wait till you hear this. The minute we come back, thanks, Daniel Horowitz. We'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Do you favor executive privilege, or should Karl Rove and others in that like position be forced to testify before the House or Senate?
You know, there's been a tendency on the part of this administration to try to hide behind executive privilege every time there's something a little shaky that's taking place. And I think, you know, the administration would be best served by coming clean on this. There doesn't seem to be any justification for not offering up some clear, plausible rationale for why these U.S. attorneys were targeted when, by all assessments, they were doing an outstanding job. I think the American people deserve to know what was going on there.
That was Larry King, the disgraced former host of television fame, who was thrown off the air for his bootlicking, interviewing President Malbama before the Eric Withholder scandal hit. And now, of course, President Malbama and Eric Withholder are in the spotlight for doing the very same thing that Larry King was prodded to ask President Malbama about, which was executive privilege. And as you heard President Malbama at that time, I think it was in 2007, President Malbama definitely said that the Bush administration was hiding behind executive privilege and shouldn't use it. But now that Eric Withholder is withholding documents, President Malbama is backing Eric Withholder. So it just shows you what goes on. In fact, it goes back to the old hippie saying, whatever goes around comes around. I mean, you could look at it that way. Whatever goes around comes around. That was in 07, before the disgraced TV spokesmouth Larry King was thrown off the air, interviewing then-Senator Obama in 2007 on executive privilege with him on that show. On when Obama was a senator, not a president, he was totally opposed to using executive privilege. Now that he is President Mao Obama, he is backing Eric Withholder by invoking executive privilege. So let's go to the callers and see what you think about it. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. MichaelSavage.com has all of this Fast and Furious story if you're interested in it. But if you really want a detailed analysis of what it's about, why it's such a big deal, why the Republicans are going after these documents, and what Holder and Obama may be hiding, you have to read Tyranny of the Anti-Justice Department. It's a full chapter on the whole case. I devoted months to researching this in the most important book of the season, Trickle Down Tyranny. It's still in the bookstores, by the way. New York, W.O.R. Stewart, go ahead, please.
Yeah, Michael, we're living in a twilight zone. In a normal world, this guy would be out. He'd be impeached. He subverts the Constitution. He reveals what happened in Iran. He grants amnesty. He pulls this Fast and Furious stuff. But unfortunately, what you just said with your guest is going to happen. It doesn't matter. It's the summer. Gas prices are down. The public doesn't give a crap. And we're going to be stuck with this guy for four more years. Romney's not taking the bull by the horns. And we're all in deep trouble here. We're in big trouble.
Stuart, you'd make a good fill-in host because you didn't waste so much as a syllable in what you just said. Every word you said connected to the word before it and preceded the word after it in a perfectly logical and orderly fashion. I can tell that you're alone in New York. You don't have too many friends.
129 of Trickle Down Tyranny. Obama.
I would send you another copy, but Stuart, this is horrible. We're living in very dangerous times, and people are concerned more with the most trivial of pursuits. This is the Savage Nation.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Do you favor executive privilege, or should Karl Rove and others in that like position be forced to testify before the House or Senate?
You know, there's been a tendency on the part of this administration to try to hide behind executive privilege every time there's something a little shaky that's taking place. And I think, you know, the administration would be best served by coming clean on this. There doesn't seem to be any justification for not offering up some clear, plausible rationale for why these U.S. attorneys were targeted when, by all assessments, they were doing an outstanding job. I think the American people deserve to know what was going on there.
That was 2007 when the president was an unknown junior senator from Illinois being interviewed by the disgraced, fired Larry King, where at the time, Senator Mao Obama was all in favor of not using executive privilege but in releasing documents. But now that he has been foisted upon this nation, President Mao Obama is backing Eric Withholder and refusing to release documents that may be embarrassing to them, which leads us to the next question. How can any we can understand why a progressive would back Mao Obama and Withholder. We understand that they're illegitimate and they want to back the illegitimacy of furthering the illegitimacy that's taking a hold in this nation. But let's say you're a decent liberal who says, no, I want to live in an open society. I don't want to live in the equivalent of the generals in Argentina from the 1970s. I want to see what's in those documents. Ask yourself what President Mao Obama and Eric Withholder are hiding and why. Why are they hiding them? And what is this all about? Is this a tempest in a teapot? Or is this truly a tempest that deserves to be aired? Well, let's ask him. Let's ask ourselves what it's all about. Is it just a political posturing in an election year in order to embarrass the president? You could argue that. Well, how do you explain the fact that Brian Terry, a heroic Marine Border Patrol agent, was killed with one of the guns that was smuggled by this administration? How do you justify the fact that during Watergate, no one actually died? Remember? Big scandal brought down Nixon. But no one had actually died from Watergate. Yet here with Fast and Furious, we have at least one death we know of. One of the guns that was smuggled to Mexico was used to kill Brian Terry, Border Patrol agent. And hundreds of Mexicans were killed with these guns. So you have guns directly linked with murders being run by the Justice Department, by the BATF. And now we're starting to wonder if Mao Bama's hands are not all over this. So I have to ask you, I know what you conservative people think about it. We know that the House panel today recommended a contempt case against Holder. We know that they voted today to recommend holding Attorney General Eric H. Worth Holder in contempt of Congress in a dispute over internal Justice Department documents related to the botched gun trafficking operation known as Fast and Furious. That we know. The vote was 23-17 along party lines. We know that that happened because President Mao Bama invoked executive privilege to hide the documents. So what is the president hiding? What did the president know, and when did he know it? Does anyone understand how big this is? The question is open to you. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. This is the Savage Nation. Let's go to the first caller, John in New York on WOR. Go ahead, please. New Mexico, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Savage. Thank you for taking my call. Thank God somebody in Congress is finally standing up and showing some backbone and demanding that this criminal attorney general is having his feet held to the fire, and perhaps they're not all cylinder rates, and they're might be an inkling of hope from America for America. This is much bigger than Watergate. This is the smoking gun.
Well, Leo, okay, I believe it's much bigger than Watergate because people died. No one died with Watergate. Let's remember that.
Absolutely.
However, the day a liberal in Congress starts to call for the release of these documents is the day I know I live in a democracy. Do you actually think you'll see a day that one of those apparatchiks will step out from behind Do you think any of the liberals will step out from behind that stone wall that's been erected by Obama and actually say, no, we want to see what may be in those documents? I don't really believe that.
Well, I think you've said it yourself, Dr. Savage, when you said, have to go back to Hemingway, that the truth has a ring to it. And I think that at the end of the day, this case is just going to have, it's going to win over the doubters and these salenterates who are standing firm with Obama. They just aren't going to be able to withstand the deluge that's going to come out of this. No way.
Well, I wish you luck out there in New Mexico, Leo. Do you have a copy of Trickle Down Tyranny where I have a whole chapter on every detail of Fast and Furious?
No, sir, I don't.
Well, I'm sending you a free copy now because this is the most important book ever written on this subject. There's no better book out there. I don't care what book is on the top of the bestseller list. None of them cover the Fast and Furious scandal in as much detail as I do in Trickle Down Tyranny. And you owe it to yourself to know really what's going on here. Jesse in Las Vegas, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Thanks, Mike. You know, I'm furious. I cannot believe there should be no executive privilege for any president, any congressperson, for anything. At the heart of this dang country, when this thing was first founded, these people were elected because they were thought of by the people to be the best people to lead us forward. Executive privilege, I have a job. If I do something wrong in my job, I answer to somebody. This damn president and these congresspeople, they answer to us. This is total, I am so furious by this junk.
Well, the liberals are arguing that the Republicans are drumming up these charges over nothing. But, you know, it begs the question, then why is, if there's nothing there, then what is Obama hiding it? I mean, you know, the liberals will say that the Republicans are contemptible for bringing up contempt charges against Holder. But you have to ask yourself, what is he hiding? In other words, who's contemptuous here? If Holder and Obama are hiding something, what are they hiding and why? I mean, that's the real question, not whether you like Republicans or not.
I agree. And forget contempt of Congress. How about contempt of this country? You owe us a freaking answer. Answer for it.
Yeah, good luck. Where's Mitt Romney on this? I think we've just crossed into the summer solstice, the longest day of the year. The longest day of the year. We're entering the longest day of the year. The summer began or is about to begin at some point in the next few minutes. The longest day of the year. I hope it's the longest day of the year for President Obama, who in 1 week has insulted the democracy that has given him so much. In 1 week, he has insulted the very institutions that have elected this man to the highest office in the land. In 1 week, look what this man has done. He granted amnesty to at least 1 million illegal aliens. And then, on top of this, he says, I'm invoking executive privilege to hide documents. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're a Democrat or a liberal who listens to me because you think I'm right half of the time. I'm going to ask you to take home one message. What is President Obama and Eric Withholder hiding? What did they know and when did they know it? That's all I want to know. If you care to comment on any of this, the phone number is 1-800-449-8255. I'll be right back. Wait, before I go to a break, there are three types of people. Those who make things happen, those who watch things happen, and those who wonder what happened. In tough economic times, tough people make things happen. Here's what Jenny has to say. Jenny said this. She said, I spent my lifetime working in the corporate world with far too little time with my kids. Then out of the blue, I got laid off. I was looking for a job when I learned about incomeathome.com. I ordered my decision pack. I got a call from my coach, and I got started. In my first full month, I made $1,300, and I'm on my way to making more than I've ever made. And I do it around my family's needs, says Jenny. So go to incomeathome.com to see the results you can expect, no matter your age or education. You can literally earn money from your kitchen table. Make it happen for you and your family at incomeathome.com. Write it down, incomeathome.com. Incomeathome.com. Incomeathome.com.
Savage.
The Middle East is becoming unglued because of Obama's failed policies. The economy is in shambles. They're printing money like in the Weimar Republic. We have one scandal after another. Terrorists are on our border, in our country. Obama grants amnesty to 1 million illegal aliens. Nothing happens. Now he invokes some kind of trick executive privilege to make certain that no one can know what he may have written to Withholder or what Withholder may have written to Obama. I don't care if you're a liberal or an independent, you have to ask yourself in the middle of this heat wave one question. If Obama has nothing to hide, why is he hiding it? Forget all of the smokescreen being put out by the kangaroo court of Eleanor Holmes Norton, Elijah Cummings, Representative Carolyn Baloney. Forget about the smokescreen they're putting up. Just ask yourself one question. If Obama and Holder have nothing to hide, why are they hiding it? It's as simple as that. I don't know how you can answer that question without seeing right through this baloney from Maloney. And so I'll take your calls. Portland, Oregon. Mike, go ahead, please.
Hey, Dr. Savage, Chickadon tyranny explains it well. Two quick points. The narrative was already tried to have been changed this morning in the testimonies. They already tried to make it about loose gun laws. And then the second thing
Wait, hold on. I'm not following you. Who changed what?
All the Democratic congressmen were deflecting away from Fast and Furious, and they were instead saying it was our loose gun laws that caused this.
Right, and they were also trying to say it was a witch hunt in a political season rather than talking about a dead Border Patrol agent and hundreds of dead Mexicans with guns that were smuggled by the Department of Homeland Security, ATF, and the Justice Department, possibly with the fingerprints of President Obama right on top of it. Thank you for the call. 1-800-449-8255, Atlanta, Georgia. Paige, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please. I hit the wrong button. Line 5, go ahead, please. Paige, you're on the Savage Nation.
Michael, I'm furious at how Washington seems to think that the American people are stupid. I mean, they can throw up all the smoke and mirrors they want, and I'm talking about either party. The fact is that when things start being covered up and people start, you know, leveraging executive privilege at the last minute before a vote against the attorney general, people start thinking there's something
wrong. But you know, you're an independent or a conservative. You're thinking because you've already come into it with knowledge of what this administration's all about. But do you actually think your liberal cohorts are thinking there's something fishy here?
Well, I'm actually an independent. I've voted for both parties, and I'll tell you what. I think the most important thing, and I think all the American people need to understand this, it's not about who greases your palm. It's about your liberty. Bottom line, and you need to vote that way. And I know that there's a lot of people on both sides of the fence who will vote Republican or Democrat, no matter what anybody says.
Well, what do you think they're hiding? Let's forget generalities for the minute. I want to stay focused. Why are they hiding the documents? What do you think it will show? If we could ever get our hands on Obama's documents to Holder and Holder's documents to Obama, I mean, obviously we have to come to the conclusion that they're deeply involved in the gun running to Mexico. They were behind it. What else can you conclude?
There is nothing else to conclude because there is no way that they would be hiding anything except for the fact that they may be trying to distract from the economy.
Well, I don't know. I'm sorry, but I have to say to you that I believe this is proof positive. Let's put it this way. Unless they release these documents, then we have to assume that Obama and Holder are guilty. Let's put it to you that way. If you catch someone in a crime and they're supposed to produce documents and they don't, you have to find that they're guilty because they're hiding something. Why would they be hiding something that makes them look good? Can you explain that to me? You see, the problem is most people in America don't have the capacity for reasoning. What I just said to you is hard and fast logic. But I was raised in another time when Aristotelian logic was actually taught in our universities. Right now, they teach you how to feel your way through reasoning, meaning you don't reason. You feel something, and therefore it's true. You see, Holder and Obama have a lock grip on a generation of voters who do not reason. They feel. They were taught in universities that if they feel something is correct, then it is correct. They feel something is incorrect, then it's incorrect. They don't actually know how to reason. They have no capacity for reasoning nor inductive logic. And so, therefore, they might get away with it. If they feel that it's a witch hunt, why, therefore, it is a witch hunt. Or as the propagandist for Hitler said, if you tell a big lie often enough, it becomes the truth. So if Obama continues to say, I'm invoking executive privilege because they're conducting a witch hunt, then all of the parrots in the media will repeat that, and then eventually the people watching the television sets will believe that. It's that simple. New York, WOR, James, what do you think? You're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, I know the reason why he's invoking presidential privilege, because Hillary Clinton's signature is all over it. Hillary and Obama are working secretly under the to get rid of the Second Amendment, because they're working closely with the U.N. as part of the U.N. small arms.
But wait, hold on. This, I don't know where you're bringing Hillary Clinton into this. If anybody, it would be who? Janet Napolitano? Who? What? Hillary Clinton's in the State Department. What does she have to do with this?
Hillary and Obama are working secretly to get rid of the Second Amendment. So she had to be involved in some way.
Honest to God, there's enough criticism about Hillary Clinton with regard to the Middle East and Syria that we don't have to lump her in with this. I mean, I have no idea why you'd bring her into this, because it's only going to take the cover up and make it ludicrous, frankly. Tom in New York, WOR calls. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, what I'm most concerned with is we have an attorney general who lied to Congress at the beginning of this. But on top of that, just last week when he was in front of Congress, he said that during the attorney general Mukasey had been briefed on the same type on that other gun program.
Yeah, he lied. He said that Bush's attorney general had been involved in this, and today he backtracked on it.
Wow, how can we put up with somebody who's supposedly upholding law? And what about looking back, if you're going to tell me...
Well, let's stop. Are you that shocked that America's top lawyer is a liar?
No,
you're
I am...
shocked that America's top lawyer is a liar when the whole profession is built on lies? I'm sorry to tell you. The whole legal profession is built on tricking people. So why should you be surprised that the top lawyer of the country is a trickster? The thing here, though, is that he's not good enough in it, and he got caught. That's all. Of course he's a liar. That's how he got where he is. What, is he a legal scholar and so brilliant? The way Holder got where he is by lying his way to the top. The trick here, though, is not to bring him down, because he got caught lying. If he was that smart, he wouldn't have got caught lying. That's all. Now you bring him out of office. You say it's too bad you got caught. It showed you're not smart enough for the job. But don't be shocked that the top lawyer is a liar. That's what the profession's about. There's two lawyers in New York. Did you see what they did to a school teacher in their son's school that they didn't like, or a school, a volunteer they didn't like? They didn't think he was treating their son right. They planted drugs in the school volunteer's clothing. Two lawyers in New York got caught planting drugs in an assistant teacher's clothing. So don't get me started on the so-called legal profession as though it's a sterling profession. It is a profession of liars, by liars, and for liars. The trick here, though, is that the top liar got caught lying. Therefore, he's not good enough for the job. Because if you get caught lying, you should get thrown out of office.
Set.
Oh, it's crazy. Executive privilege, executive orders, ruling by decree, ruling by fiat. I feel like I'm living in a banana republic. Under this administration, with the incompetence and the lying and the corruption and the weakness on the other side of the aisle, it does get you down after a while, truthfully. So you got a heat wave in the East Coast. I'm proud to tell you, here on the West Coast in San Francisco, I'm enjoying the weather. It's gorgeous. It's about 60 degrees right now. The wind is coming out of the west, sunny and cool, and there's a little fog on the bay. It's very beautiful, really, truthfully. It's the reason I moved to San Francisco is for the weather, not for the people. And this is what we live here for this. So, you know, what do you expect in New York in June and July? Heat. That's why people left New York in June and July from the beginning of time. Even the Indians left New York. Even the Manhattan Indians left the Catskill Mountains 300 years ago. They couldn't take the heat. But now, of course, there's global warming. It's not just summertime. And in the West Coast, the reason people moved here at all, as I said to you, was for the weather. No other reason. Certainly to move here for Nancy Pelosi's values, right? I mean, what do you move here for? Nancy Pelosi's values? So Holder was found in contempt. Full House to vote next week. To the average person out there, you know, with the clothing sticking to them and walking from the subway to the apartment, they don't know what this is about. They got a portable radio on their ear. They hear that there's some screaming over contempt. And they say, oh, God, it's those evil white Republicans picking on a man of color. Look what they're doing to an administration, which is largely administration of decent, good people like Holder and Obama, trying to save the world from the evil white male. See, that's what the average moron out there who watches sports and entertainment on a daily basis comes to conclude. That's because they don't even know what's going on. They don't understand that this issue today is a bigger cover-up than Watergate, which brought down President Nixon. The big difference today is not only the voting public, which is much dumber because of the masses of illegal immigrants that have come into the country, number one, the school system, which has been watered down because of the unions, number two, and because of the dummies in the press, the bought and sold dummies in the press. So I don't expect impeachment, even though, as I said to you, a Border Patrol agent was killed with one of the guns, hundreds of Mexicans were killed with the guns, and there's clearly a cover-up. And you don't have to ask yourself any more than this, if it's too much for you to carry around. Why would Obama hide documents unless he's got something serious to hide? That is a logical conclusion. Let's say you catch your kid in school. Let's say you're a diehard liberal Democrat from Nassau County, Queens, and you actually believe that your Democrat congressman and your senators, such as Schumer, are honest, good people trying to save you from the evil big businessmen, right? So your kid gets caught, even you can figure this one out, in a scandal in school for hiding some documents. And the teacher says, look, we want to see what you're hiding in your desk. And the kid locks the desk and says to the teacher, I'm not going to show you what I have in my desk. The teacher says, you have to show me what's in your desk because we think you've been involved in a cheating scandal. And the kid says, no, I'm not going to show it to you. The teacher says, you have to show it to me. Now, would you conclude the kid is hiding something that would prove that he cheated on the test? Or would you conclude he's hiding something that would show him in a good light? Even common sense would dictate that Obama and Holder are two incompetent children who just got caught lying and cheating in a major league scandal that would bring down any Republican in about a week. Okay, so even a liberal has to understand what this is going on here. So who do you blame for all of this? You can blame an awful lot of people. The media is the primary reason America has melted down. The primary reason America is in this trouble is because of the vermin in the media. It goes all the way back to the rats in Hollywood, the pollution that they pump out through the sewer pipe to the world. It's brought about Islamic terrorism. It's brought about the demise of the family. It's brought about the death of religion. And now it's bringing about the death of democracy itself, all because of a few devils in the media. That's my analysis. The whole thing could be brought back to the devils in the media. That's right. The devil is in the details. I'll take your calls. What is Holder hiding and why is he hiding it? Indiana Nancy, what is Holder hiding and why is he hiding it?
Well, he's definitely guilty, and he should be thrown out. Obama is just as guilty. He should
be hold on. What are they guilty of? What is Eric with Holder, and what is President Malbama? What are they hiding? Don't know. No answer. I'm like, obviously, Attorney General with Holder is withholding this for a reason, and obviously, President Malbama is withholding it because he's a dictator. As I warned you, a tyrant, and they never get, tyrants never get less tyrannical unless they're stopped in Czechoslovakia. If you don't stop a tyrant when he invades Czechoslovakia, he's next going to invade Poland. And I am telling you that this man is out of control. I've seen a change in Obama over the last few months that is frightening to behold. If you look at where he's liable to go, unless he is brought down before Congress and the American people and shown for the man that he actually is, we're going to be living with a full-blown dictatorship in the next administration, if God forbid he should win again. That's my deepest fear, and I'm not alone in this. I don't care what you think of me. All you got to do is look at this situation to understand that they're hiding something very big here, and they have to release it. But as the attorney who was on the show, Dan Horowitz, said, they're churning the documents right now. They're shredding them as we speak. And I believe that not only are they shredding documents, but they're also constructing fake documents in order to show that they are innocent. You know, it's very easy to construct emails. How hard is it to make up an email from a year ago? This is what I don't understand. You can make up an email from a year ago in 1 second on any computer. I mean, if you can make up a birth certificate or a driver's license or a passport, you could buy one in a bodega right now in New York City. Go buy a passport. The government doesn't know where to look, but you could probably buy one for $20. Along with some enchiladas, you could buy a passport or a driver's license. So if you can make up a passport that passes an airport screener, and you can get a driver's license for $25, why can't you make up an email which has no stamp on it whatsoever? It's over, it's finished, it's gone. End of story. But we need to know what they're hiding and why they're hiding it. Or at least you need to know what they did. There are dead people as a result. Now, tomorrow the Supreme Court may reveal the Obamacare verdict. You hear this? What a week this has been. First amnesty for 1 million illegal aliens. Then executive privilege on documents related to the death and destruction of hundreds of people, including a Border Patrol agent. Tomorrow we'll see another executive decision. If they should knock out Obamacare, I guarantee you the tyrant will write some law the next day saying, although the Supreme Court has ruled, let them enforce. I have the army. Now that the Supreme Court has ruled, let them enforce. Yeah, you can expect that from President Malbama. The long march, my friend, did not begin 2 years ago. The long march, my friend, did not begin 3 years ago. The long march, my friends, began a long time ago with the first Internacional Conference. But you need to know history to know what I'm referring to. That should trigger Jimmy from New York. But he'd be the only one who would know what I'm talking about. He'd be the only one to know what I'm talking about. No, the long march is exactly what's going on here. Obama was handpicked by the Internacional. The man was handpicked to become president of the United States. And boy, did they do a good pick. Look what he's getting away with. You got to hand it to the commies. They know what they're doing. So now let me dip back in the Bible. The Bible called trickle-down tyranny because it's the Bible of what's going on with this administration. And thank God I wrote it in the third year of this administration, because I don't think this book could be published again today. I certainly don't think any publisher would publish a book as damning with the information that is in it. It was vetted by lawyers, by the way. It never could have been published. So let me tell you what this is all about. Are you ready for this? It's in Tyranny of the Anti-Justice Department in Trickle-Down Tyranny. Holder's Justice Department is involved up to its eyeballs in the attempt to eliminate borders and encourage illegals to come to America risk-free. So this is directly related to the gun issue. But what you want to know is, in addition to giving up our sovereignty, in addition to turning America's sovereignty over to the government of Mexico, they're lying about this issue of the guns and who died and why they died. In other words, what happened here? Why did they do this? Why would they want to run guns to Mexican drug cartels? I'll read it to you again. Holder's Anti-Justice Department, and through the DOJ, issued regulations on gun shop owners along the southern border, warning them to report the very activity, the sale of multiple weapons that the DOJ directed ATF to engage in, intentionally allowing multiple weapons to be sold and then transported to drug cartels in Mexico while their supervisors ignored or punished agents who tried to blow the whistle on the illegal activity. Deputy Attorney General James Cole issued a statement explaining that the new regulations are necessary, and I won't read you why. Gun control regulation expanded under Obama. Obama and Holder and their ATF confederates officially decreed new gun regulations based on data compiled from illegal activities they themselves condoned and which cost the lives of hundreds of Mexican citizens and two U.S. agents. Not a single Mexican drug cartel kingpin was arrested as a result of Project Fast and Furious. Page 252, Trickle Down Tyranny. What did result from Fast and Furious was a dramatic degradation of the security of our border with Mexico as drug criminals solidified their hold on the border and extended their authority into U.S. territory. And what about the key ATF players who worked with Holder and Obama to hide the gun walking and make this new regulation possible? Well, I have their names, Newell, McMahon, David Voth. They were given promotions, despite the fact that I believe they engaged in criminal activities themselves. Ken Melson, who blew the whistle on Holder and the Justice Department's involvement in Fast and Furious, was given a make-work job as senior advisor on forensic science in the department's Office of Legal Policy. In other words, they put him on ice. So this is a major league scandal. Fast and Furious. Fast and Furious. A key resignation tended so far in the Fast and Furious scandal was that of U.S. Attorney Dennis Burke. His final act before he stepped down, what was it? Burke opposed the request of Brian Terry's family when they asked to qualify as crime victims in the case against the gunwalker who purchased the weapons used in their son's murder. Is this another step toward the ultimate goal of the Obama administration to eliminate the border between the United States and Mexico? In Trickle Up Poverty, I wrote about Obama's relationship with the radical Latino group La Raza, with which the president shares the idea that our southern border should be eliminated. Here's what the president said in a July 2011 address to the group La Raza. Obama confessed that, quote, he'd like to bypass Congress and change the immigration laws. He added, believe me, the idea of doing things on my own is very tempting, I promise you. Well, guess what? He just did something on his own. And guess what happened? Zilch. Nada. Nothing. Because there's no opposition party and the media is totally worthless. I'm Michael Savage, author of Trickle Down Tyranny. I'll be right back.
Savage.
I mean, would you expect a man like Obama, who appoints czars, which unto itself was an affront to our democracy, to tell you the truth on anything? No. Would you expect that he's hiding something that makes him look good in invoking executive privilege? No. Would you suspect that President Obama and Eric Withholder have something to hide that is very deeply incriminating? Yes. And so therefore, you have to ask yourself, what are they hiding and why are they hiding it? How deeply were they involved in this gun-running scandal? And will we ever find out the truth? Those are the only questions. I have no idea whether we'll actually see the truth because, as we've been discussing today on the Savage Nation, they're buying time by invoking executive privilege. They're probably shredding documents and probably fabricating fake emails to show that they're innocent. Larry in New York on WR, what's your opinion?
Yeah, hi, Doc. This is great. It's the first time I've connected with you, and I'm a real fan now. But, you know, there's one thing that's very obvious about Obama. This guy's a rookie manager. He never managed anything in his entire life. So he's making basic mistakes that any rookie manager who's in it for the first time makes, namely that he has to micromanage. He's got to get his fingers involved in everything because he not only is a rookie manager, he's suffering from a malignant narcissism. No one can get
Well, he has very low self-esteem. People should understand that he has a classic we don't want to go into the psychology of it because it will get us off the topic, but I agree with you. The man is immensely insecure because he knows he's unqualified to be president of the United States. He evidences it by his policies, which have virtually all failed. We have trillions of dollars in debt. The man's printing money. The Middle East is blowing up in front of our eyes. The Fast and Furious scandal blew up in his face. How much more do we have to see till people finally say the king has no clothes?
But you know, Michael, his ignorance is what's going to bring, his inexperience is what is going to bring him down. And you can see it happening now because you know what?
Well, you know, I agree that he's very inexperienced. He was a green junior senator who was foisted upon us by forces that are astonishing. Now he's in the highest office in the land. And he's making one mistake after another. So tell us, in your mind, how this plays out. What mistake is he going to make next?
I think the cake is already baked. They crossed the border with this. Holder brought it to him. I mean, he delivered this deal to him. And, of course, Obama being Obama, he's got to put the finishing touches on it. Now,
they cooked it up at a lower level to appeal to the king. And the king then said, good idea, and I'll polish it a little bit. And that's what you think are in the emails.
Exactly, and they can delete the emails, but they're going to be in all the hard drives. They can subpoena the hard drives. And you know something? At the end of the day, the Republicans aren't going to, you know, bring this man down. It's going to be his own, you know, inexperience and his own ego that are going to destroy him.
But do you actually think that the independent voter who is wavering between Romney and him will wake up and say, this guy's not competent, or this guy is a liar, I'm not voting for him? You think that'll trickle out to them?
Yeah, the minute he stumbles, all these Hollywood types, and particularly the media, will fall on him like the sword of God, like they did on Jimmy Carter.
What do you mean? Because they don't like weaklings? Is that it?
They don't like to back a loser. And if he appears to be losing control of his campaign and his administration, they will run from him like deers in the headlights. And wait and see. He's going to have no one to blame but himself because he reached too far and he fell.
Larry, I have to ask you something because your analysis seems like you're a professional. And in some way, are you in the political world yourself?
No, I'm a business guy, but I did spend over 20 years with CBS. So they couldn't fire me, Doc, because I was a Republican conservative, so I was a minority. I went out distance, and I took early retirement, and I know the way the media operates. They don't like losers, because losers don't generate ratings, and ratings don't generate income. So this guy's already toast. It just, you'll see,
I wish you and I could talk again in November after the election and see if we could replay this tape. And Larry says, you'll see, he's going to, you know, well, God forbid he gets reelected. What are we going to do then, Larry? We can't move to Canada.
As like the man said, God sees all but waits. Don't worry, you know, Tolstoy, don't worry.
Well, I know. Well, actually, yeah, God sees the truth but waits. It's one of my favorite sayings. And then my follow-up to that over the years has been, but I'm tired of waiting for God to see the truth and say something already.
It's starting to happen. You can see it. I mean, this is a major blunder.
So you're a cynical New Yorker from the media, one of the original Mad Men types, obviously, by what I'm hearing. You worked at CBS, and you're cynical, you're a Republican, and you think that Obama's overreaching and he's so amateurish he's going to fall?
Yes, absolutely. And do you think
Congress will get Holder first?
I think he's going to dump Holder. This guy has no loyalty to anyone but himself.
Oh, he'll throw him under the bus first.
Exactly. And the guy that's the linchpin in this thing, I'm telling you, is Lanny Brewer. Because he's the only one that appears to have some smarts there. And
he's a smart snake. He's one of the most evil of the snakes. I remember him. He goes way back. He's a snake from... No, well, we both know his lineage. We know that Lanny Brewer is a Brooklyn snake. Yeah. And we know that they're not to be underestimated. They're very deadly.
And
the toxin of the Brooklyn snake with a law degree is never to be underestimated. Now, let me ask you this, Larry. Have you yet bought trickle-down tyranny?
No, unfortunately.
Ah, you know all of this on your own? I'm finished. I'm sending you a copy anyway.
Oh, wonderful.
No. Larry, listen, a guy like you who knows it all, the fact of the matter is, this whole chapter 10 is about Fast and Furious. I didn't just write a page on it. I spent months researching this. I name all the names. I name what's really going on. The book is worth it just for that chapter. I want everyone to read this book if they haven't, to reread that chapter. So copy goes out to you. Fast and Furious, Executive Privilege, one take-home question, boys and girls. This is the question for your liberal neighbor, okay? If they've got nothing to hide, why are they hiding it? That's all you got to say. Do it with a smile. Don't do it with anger. Ask your red diaper doper baby neighbor. Ask him one question when they defend President Malbama and Eric Withholder. If they've got nothing to hide, why are they hiding it? Okay? Use common sense.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
I simply want to make a point that week before last in the House Judiciary Committee, Chairman Issa, Representative Gowdy and I were there. I asked the Attorney General if he was willing to sit down, and he was so adamant that the senior level of Department of Justice people were not involved. I asked him, would you be willing to come sit with us? Allow Mr. Gowdy and I to come sit with you and share this information. Show us what you have. We'll show you what. And he said no. Said no. He said, I'm done doing this. I have given you every bit of information, and I have no intention of further talking to you. Sadly, that's in part why we're here today.
A quorum being present, the question is on favorable reporting the contempt report of the House as amended. The clerk will report.
23 ayes, 17 noes.
The ayes have it.
You got to hear this audio today, including the idiot, Representative Carolyn Baloney, saying she's offended by Congress and ISA calling Eric Holder a liar. What would you call him, baloney?
I must say, Mr. Chairman, I am offended personally by your calling the Attorney General a liar. And it's extremely disrespectful and attacking to our public servant. Where have we degenerated to in calling names, not having hearings on meaningful reforms, not acting on reforms, but merely degenerating to attacking people and moving forward with paperwork that is unwarranted, unfair, and violates the law of the United States of America.
Now listen to Senator Obama in 07 when he was a senator talking about executive privilege and how it was overused by Bush.
Do you favor executive privilege, or should Karl Rove and others in that like position be forced to testify before the House or Senate?
You know, there's been a tendency on the part of this administration to try to hide behind executive privilege every time there's something a little shaky that's taking place. And I think, you know, the administration would be best served by coming clean on this. There doesn't seem to be any justification for not offering up some clear, plausible rationale for why these U.S. attorneys were targeted when, by all assessments, they were doing an outstanding job. I think the American people deserve to know what was going on there.
Now here's Mitt Romney talking about the speculation over his vice presidential pick. Wow, how exciting.
Late today at an unscheduled stop at Captain Sunday's Ice Cream, that's in Holland, Michigan, we heard from Mitt Romney about Marco Rubio. Let's listen.
Marco Rubio is being thoroughly vetted as part of our process. Thanks so much, guys.
All right, that was Mitt Romney in Holland, Michigan, rebutting specifically an ABC News report which had suggested that because the Florida senator had not received any requests for paperwork, he wasn't being vetted for the vice presidential nominee search.
I get a kick out of some of the speculation that goes on, and I'm not going to comment on the process, of course, but I can tell you this. Only Beth Myers and I know who's being vetted. And
Does that mean Ann Romney doesn't know?
Ann doesn't know. We talk about the possible people that I might select, but in terms of who's actually being vetted, that's something only two people know. Beth Myers doesn't talk.
Now, what is this Fast and Furious scandal? Let's start at the top. Fast and Furious was the federal government allowing some 2,000 guns to be walked into Mexico into the hands of Mexican drug cartel gunmen. I explain this in a whole chapter in Trickle Down Tyranny. This strategy was knowingly mistaken from the beginning. Why? Because officials with the Justice Department, BATF, appear to have willfully misled congressional investigators, yet none of them have lost their jobs. Remember, an ATF agent was killed. Hundreds of Mexicans were killed with these guns. Border Patrol agent Brian Terry killed with Fast and Furious guns. Apparently, the Attorney General doesn't think that these deaths matter very much. I want to remind you, and this is important, that Holder was held in contempt today. Chapter 10 of Trickle-Down Tyranny is called Tyranny of the Anti-Justice Department. In fact, it's all about Fast and Furious, all about Holder. And don't miss it. It's the last chapter of the book. Let's make sure it's not the last chapter of America. Buy Trickle Down Tyranny and learn what this gang is doing to you. What else is on michaelsavage.com? Professor fired after expressing climate change skepticism. How's that for science? Top British doctor says socialized medicine has killed off 130,000 elderly patients every year. Department of Justice has dropped a terrorism charge in a Taliban case. Texas dad won't face charges for beating molester. Good for him. Muslim mob ransacks storefront church. 60 Christians were beaten up and driven out by practitioners of the religion of peace. Confidence in public schools at a new low, according to Gallup. Occupy Wall Street movement has hit a wall. They should hit a sewer and then a shower. Why is Obama delaying the trial of the Fort Hood killer? Maybe he can sweep that one under the rug as well. How high up did that one go? Is that the problem here? Wait a minute. Let's look at that. The Fort Hood massacre, the murderer, the Muslim, Nidal Hassan, has not yet been brought to justice. Is that because the Justice Department is involved some way in covering this up? We don't know. Who knows what's going on with this administration? Here's a shocker. In New York, parents planted drugs on an elementary school volunteer they didn't like. They were unhappy with how the woman was supervising their son. You want to hear the punchline? Both parents are lawyers. I rest my case. Shakespeare had it right. It's all on michaelsavage.com. Well, here are the headlines that I have been reading from michaelsavage.com. House panel just voted to place Eric Holder in contempt of Congress for being a lying attorney general. Obama refuses to turn over Fast and Furious documents. What is Obama hiding? 2 years ago, he attacked Bush for trying to hide behind executive privilege. Or was that 4 years ago? Family of slain Border Patrol agent. Disappointed. What are they disappointed in? Romney has a lot to say. It's another broken promise. Oh, my. Get him a wet noodle. U.S. military instructor suspended for a course portraying Islam almost entirely in a negative way. Really? You mean we're not at war with sections of Islam? 15 people pass out from heat at high school graduation. Scorching summer start. Live heat index in the East is a big story. Study, drinking water from a garden hose can cause cancer. No kidding. That's about all. Let's listen to the rest of the show right here on the Savage Nation. This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Our purpose has never been to hold the Attorney General in contempt. Our purpose has always been to get the information the committee needs to complete its work that it is not only entitled to, but obligated to do. We had offered the department an accommodation to address its concerns about information related to ongoing prosecutions. If the Justice Department had delivered the documents they freely admitted they could deliver, we wouldn't be here today.
I must say, Mr. Chairman, I am offended personally by your calling the Attorney General a liar. And it's extremely disrespectful and attacking to our public servant. Where have we degenerated to in calling names, not having hearings on meaningful reforms, not acting on reforms, but merely degenerating to attacking people and moving forward with paperwork that is unfair and violates the law of the United States of America?
Now, somebody once said living well is the best revenge. Now, what living well means is up to you. To me, it's a few people I can talk to and have a meal with, which is very rare in this world. So last night, I got to tell you, as I told you I would, a man in the street story. I go up to North Beach Restaurant. Lorenzo had been away for 10 days. And I brought Teddy in. Teddy likes to dine on Italian food. And I go up there and I said, look, I don't want any fish. I don't want any pasta. I want meat tonight. So he says, why don't you have scotto dito? I said, what's scotto dito? I don't speak Italian. He says, scotto dito. It means you'll burn your finger. I said, what? I don't want to burn my finger. He said, no. Scotto dito means lamb chops. That's how we used to say it in Italy. He said, scotto dito. So I said, okay, then give me some hot lamb chops. I ate these greatest lamb chops. Teddy scoffed down some veal at Lorenzo. Lorenzo just lost one of his dogs, and he was heartbroken, so he likes Teddy more than ever. And he gave him some veal, and we had a nice time. And I'm leading up to some wine here, some wine story. I bring in a bottle of my own, because I had been drinking earlier the night before, New Zealand wine. I happen to like wine. When I drink wine at all, I like New Zealand from Marlboro, the Sauvignon Blanc from Marlboro in New Zealand, right? And it's a little bit of an affront to Lorenzo because he has his own, vineyard. I understand that, but it's all right. He's a big guy. So he drank the wine, and he said to me, the first thing that you smell when you drink it, well, I don't know, you want to hear more about wine? Because his grandfather taught him in Italy how to taste wine when he was 6 years old. Here's what his grandfather said. He said, Lorenzo, you take a small sip of wine. You put it on your tongue. Don't move anything. Count to eight and let it go down from the side of your mouth into your throat. And then he said, as a young kid, he choked almost to death from it. He said, when he did it, though, I experienced it because the side of your mouth is the most delicate part of your throat. I experienced something incredible. Something incredible because it goes all the way into your throat and the side of your mouth. My grandfather used to say, you know when you do that, it takes the pants off the wine and you really see what is there. I love the florid language of old Italy. So I'm going to give you a little more of the florid language of old Italy. You ready for more? Here's some more. They had a lot of troubles in Italy after the war. So he says his grandfather told him when he was a little boy in Italy, When they had nothing but trouble because the Nazis had occupied Italy, by the way, his grandfather said to him, everyone has a cross to bear, but lucky is the one that can keep the cross in his pocket. That struck me as such a brilliant statement to remember. I love that one, so I made a note of it. And then we talked about olive oil and this and that. I'm not going to bore you with that, but here's the end of the story because it was very funny. I ate the meal. Teddy had his meal. We had a lot of fun talking. I drank some wine. I go outside. It turned very cold. It was like 50 degrees, 51 degrees. The wind was blowing, which I love. I had my overcoat and hat on. And just guys, you know, BSing in the street waiting to get back in the car. Incidentally, someone drives me when I drink. You just should know that in case you want to send a letter to somebody. And then a man comes around the corner, an Iranian man. He's a Persian. He owns a Persian restaurant around the corner. I've seen the restaurant for 30 years. I've not gone in it. It's always been known as a upscale, you know, Persian restaurant. But I never went in it. So he says to me, did I tell you a story? He says, I know who you are. He says, you're a legend in this city. And he says to me, I said, thank you very much. I said, well, your restaurant is a legend. We exchange pleasantries. So he said to me, did I ever tell you? Now, remember, he's a Muslim. So he says to me, did I ever tell you the story that when the Jews don't eat, the Muslims starve to death? Well, we all broke into phenomenal laughter. I said, that's the funniest thing I ever heard. He was, of course, referring to the days of the Jewish holidays when Jewish people generally don't go to restaurants. So here is a Muslim guy who owns a a Persian restaurant, and he says, we have a saying in the restaurant business that when the Jews don't eat, the Muslims starve to death. I said, I got to say that on the radio tomorrow. He says, no, no, no. He says, you can't say it because you're not Muslim. He says, people will take offense. He says, let me say it. I can't imagine a Muslim would take offense at something that's funny. I mean, it's a good-natured joke, isn't it? Or did that offend somebody? Maybe you can call the ACLU because I told you a joke. San Luis Obispo, Robbie, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. I hear you talk about olive oil. I'm an old retired surgeon who makes olive oil in California, and I know you like Spanish oil, but there are some pretty spectacular California olive oils that are really, really extra virgin.
Oh, I drink, sorry, I almost drink it. I use a California or extra virgin olive oil because it's about the only certified organic oil that's reliably organic.
Yeah, we really police ourselves. The California Olive Oil Council, we have the highest standards in the world for the certification as extra virgin. And when
I really, believe me, I'm an olive oil fanatic, and I do love, yes, I like Spanish olive oil, but the fact of the matter is there are trees here in California that are not quite 1,000 years old, but they're some phenomenally old trees. And the if they're new trees, they're made from cuttings from Spanish cuttings, weren't they, some of them?
Some of them, yes.
But, yes, and the reason I like Spanish olive oil in general is because it's a lower acid oil. Am I correct in that?
It is, but we make a very unique varietal from Italy that's also very, very low in acidity. And I, one of these days I'd love to get you to try it.
Let me ask you something. My friend Lorenzo at North Beach Restaurant has a vineyard. I was there when he cut down the trees and put in his vineyard. So I asked him why his oil is amazing from his vineyard up. You probably are familiar with it, Petroni oil. So I said, well, what are your olive trees from? He said, the cuttings are from Tuscany, and they're a mixture of, listen to this, Lacino, Pendolino, Moraiolo, Coratina, and Frantoio, which he says is the classical Tuscan blend. Does that make sense to you?
Those are the traditional Tuscans. Almost every Tuscan blend that you'll buy in California are from those trees. More Frantoio, Lacino, Pendolino, either Moraiolo or Merino, and there's some folks up in Sonoma that have just, in the early to mid-90s, won best olive oil in Europe with their trees.
I want to ask you, Robbie, stay on the line, because I want to know the tax implications of maybe I should open up a vineyard.
Wait, hang on before I go. I read an article on how the economy has affected consumers, and that customer service and return policies are really now the main reasons people choose to do business with a company. Case in point, it's time to replace the blinds, shades, or shutters in your home. You take your measurements, you head off to the big home improvement store. Sure, they take your order. But when your window coverings arrive, you find out they don't fit because the schmuck from the plumbing department gave you bad advice. You trudge back and they tell you, sorry, no returns on custom orders. Not at blinds.com. Not at blinds.com. See, even if you mismeasure, which almost never happens, they'll remake it for free. Who does that? There are also over 100 real experts in-house happy to assist. Get free color samples, free shipping, and no sales tax in most states. Plus, expert installers if you need one. That's Blinds.com, where their prices absolutely crush home improvement store prices. Blinds.com, I've used them for blinds. I love them, Blinds.com.
Savage.
I can't wait till the train set arrives. The Pennsylvania Berkshire train comes with a powerful 284 Berkshire and the new Lionel Fast Freight set pulls an impressive number of cars. A four-bay hopper hauling coal, a flat car with generators chained to the deck, a one-of-a-kind Pennsy power and light tank car, and a colorful porthole caboose. In addition to a powerful 80-watt transformer, the set includes all the fast track needed to make a deluxe figure eight a layout. I don't know. It seems to me like more fun than buying a new car. More fun than my boat. You know, I don't know what it is. Who knows? Maybe I just want to withdraw into my own imagination. Who knows? You know, I've given up watercolors. I can't do them. I have no talent whatsoever. Sad. I mean, I have the whole set that I got in Florida and I was painting. You know, at a certain point, you got to realize what you can do and what you can't do. And I've known for years what I can't do. I cannot play a musical instrument. I cannot paint. So why must I do it? Why do I have to improve myself, I ask myself?
Why can't I just have a couple of drinks and watch television at night? After, I mean, I'm writing two books, I'm doing a daily radio show, I walk a dog. I mean, how much more does a man have to do? I ask myself every day. And yet, we live in a country where every man thinks he has to improve himself until a day he takes his last breath. For what? Who's watching? What am I trying to prove? Who's looking at me? He is looking at you, kid. Anyway, here we are in the Savage Nation. We're talking about very important things and very insignificant things. And so if you care to join the conversation, the phone number is 1-800-449-8255. Or you can do what I'm going to do right now. I want to go to michaelsavage.com and I want to see what's up there, because I work on it from the morning. I get up. I actually love getting up. I actually enjoy getting up. The first thing I do with you. But what do I do the first thing I get up? I do push-ups. That's the first thing I do. Most days. Lately, I haven't been wanting to do them, but I do them most days. I hate it. I hate doing push-ups. I hate them. It's worse than cod liver oil when I was 6. And then I do some barbell work for the arms, because, I mean, there's nothing worse in a man than a soft arm. Well, okay, we'll leave it at that. But you see, there's medication for the other problem. There's no medication to make your biceps hard. In other words, you can't take a pill and make your biceps hard, can you? That you have to do the good old-fashioned way with dumbbells. It was regard to the other part of your anatomy. You know, you could be lazy and you could still be, right? So I do the dumbbells. The next thing I do is I stumble into the kitchen. Well, I walk into the kitchen. I got to let the dog out into the yard. Then there's another dog I have to let out in the yard, the other maniac. I pray to God he didn't leave me a surprise by the door. The Havanese with Teddy. Oh, what a mess that is. God, housebreaking a dog. Don't get me started. Never again. No more. I love them. They're like people. But at a certain point, I mean, you know, my father knew how to housebreak a dog. I got to tell you, this new age housebreaking doesn't work. You spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars with techniques, and it doesn't work. My father, rest his soul, knew how to housebreak Tippy. He did it in exactly 2 training sessions, and he never studied it. You see, it consisted of rolling up the Daily News, and at the first sign of a dog dumping in your living room, he took the dog's face and rubbed it in it, and smacked him on the butt and screamed at him as loud as he could, and said, "Don't ever do that again." And then rubbed his face in it again and hit him again. That was the housebreaking, and it worked. Now the therapy and the call PETA, and you're liable to make them into an erotic peer if you yell at it. It didn't make him into an erotic peer. He never peed in the house again. Ever. Never. He never lifted a leg again. Well, it did once on Fat Al's foot, I got to admit. But that was a special occasion. When the 400 pounder sat in the living room, I told you that story. I don't want to get into a childhood story. God, why were men so colorful in those days? Where have they all gone? Why are men so bland with shorts today? Everybody turns to like bland suburban white men with no personality. Everyone's in perfect shape. They're thin. They bicycle. They row. They exercise. They eat right. They have a cereal for breakfast, and they're bland as a toastie without honey cream on it. I don't understand it. Where are all of the wild differences in people that used to exist? And that goes back to the movie I watched over the weekend. I got to drift into the movie again. I got to tell you about it before we forget it, and before we get into the whole train set, Dagon, atomic war is coming, Obama blocks Texas voter ID law, needs illegals to stay in power, clear as a bell to me, before we get into all of that stuff. Honest to God, that movie, it just stuck in my mind. I'm searching for a movie. I hit Turner Classic Movies. Thank God someone collected all of these movies. They're amazing. And they reissued a movie from 62 called Mafioso. I happen to love the genre. So they were saying, there's a guy on TCM who does the introductions who I like. The older guy is backing him out. There's a young guy, Mankiewicz, who must be the son of the old director, Mankiewicz. He's really very good. He has a nice persona. He knows what he's talking about. So this guy Mankiewicz talks about it. He says it was reissued, the movie Mafioso, and it was a movie that they say led to The Godfather that we know in 1970, right? With Brando and Pacino and the James Caan movie. So this is a black and white, low budget production, and it takes place in Milano to start with. It's a Sicilian man who's a factory manager, who is married to a blonde lady, a Nordic, and he has 2 lovely little daughters. And he's going home to Sicily for a 2-week holiday to visit his parents, because his wife has... He left Sicily to better his life, which he did. He's a factory manager. And he's going to go home to visit his parents because she never met them. Before he leaves, I'm not going to give away the plot. He's called into the room of the factory boss, who says to him, I want you to deliver a package to Don so-and-so in the town in which you're going back to. He said, we both come from the same town in Sicily. I want you to visit Don Pedro, and I want you to give him this package, and you got to deliver it to him personally. So you know already there's a plot line that's going to be followed. Now, this movie is if you look it up on IMDb, it's a comedy. They say it's a comedy drama, which is very interesting. It's not a comedy drama. It's a drama, but it's lighthearted, because he's a lighthearted character. He's one of the greatest Italian character actors of his time. Now, if you like black and white movies, which I do, I love it. I always loved Ilia Kazan. These scenes, again, in the Sicilian town where he goes home, where the food scenes alone are worth watching this movie. But wait, before I go, before I stop talking about the movie, I don't know why I'm going on and on about it. There's another scene in here. I don't know how to say it to you without giving the plot away. There's about a 7 or 8 minute scene, maybe a 10 minute scene in New York, in Manhattan. Manhattan, circa 1960. The Manhattan I remember. The Manhattan when I was young. The Manhattan that no longer exists. And those scenes of driving down Fifth Avenue in an open Cadillac convertible and some of the seedier hotels and whatnot are astonishing in their documentary quality and the graphic nature of the film and how it evolves, okay? So for those reasons alone, I highly recommend this movie. And I don't even have anything to do with any of the people. They're probably not even around anymore. I just want to talk about what I'm enthusiastic about. You know what the first rule of radio is? Do you know what the first rule of talk radio is? You want to hear it? I learned this when I first started. If the host is enthusiastic about something, the audience will be very interested in it. If the host is not really enthusiastic about it, no one will listen to you. They're not going to take you seriously. And that's why I've been so successful all these years, because when I get into a subject, you can tell when I'm really into it, right? Rarely do I get up here and I'm not connected to what I'm talking about, whether it be about the big old word, whether it be about politics or the dog or cars or whatever, or food. I'm really there because I'm a very passionate individual in the subject matter that I discuss. I would never discuss something I know nothing about, nor would I discuss something I'm not really interested in, because in 2 seconds, you know, I'm telling you a pack of lies. So there it is. If you care to talk about any of these topics, please don't call me at 1-800-449-8255.
Savage.
Stop it. You can't play that song on this show. Gloria Allred's liable to sue the rock and rollers who sang Little Girl of Mine. I mean, that is demeaning to a woman. I mean, to call a woman Little Girl of Mine in a song, that's unheard of. How dare you? I think she should find that she should disinter the owner of that record company. And if any of those men who sang that despicable song, Little Girl of Mine, are living in a nursing home, seek them out. Break them over your knee. We can't have Little Girl of Mine in this country. That is demeaning. You get some strange callers in this business, I got to tell you. I don't know what's coming next. I just don't know. You don't know who's going to call next, but you're invited to be that who at 1-800-449-8255. It's the one and only Savage Nation, surviving the turbulence of the times, riding the white water with all of you. Oh, this is really rough. This is white water. This is the white water of radio. These are the white water days of talk radio that I'm in. We're going down the canyon as fast as possible. And so far, the canoe is holding its own. I don't know who's going to call next or what's going to come up. The guy called me earlier and talked about slime in the meat. He said he doesn't care. He likes slime in the meat. It's unbelievable. I don't know who's going to call next. It could be a caller from the deepest reaches of Connecticut or Vermont. My cracky Doc Savage, you're a heck of a guy. Doc Savage, I have a question for you. You're such a brilliant guy. What kind of tooth powder should I be using now? See, back in 41, I was using that Colgate. It was made from a bitumate, a certain bisulfite product. But, well, during the war, they seized it all up for that gunpowder. Well, then after the war, after Elmer's remains came home, we shifted over to a chlorine-based tooth powder. And I got to tell you, I noticed a change in my rabbits right away. I saw them rabbits change their behavior. Doc Savage. I want to know if it was that chlorine-based tooth powder. Oh, God. You know, laughter is the best medicine for our linguistic and cultural divide here in America. Laughter is the best medicine for America's linguistic and cultural divide. I apologize if I did not speak in the aphorisms that you used to, but this is the best I can do, given the situation that we're living in now. Oh, yeah. Who knows? Who's going to call next? I don't know. It's an interesting topic. Look what I found for you. See, now you're going to get a shocker. You're going to get a treat now. If you're a regular listener, let's say you're listening on and off and you never missed a show in 16 years, and I mean every hour and every minute and every day, even when you were incarcerated for DUI, you somehow had an earphone. Right? I've been going through my archives because I told you I'm writing a book about my childhood stories and I'm looking for stories. And this. I was, back in 1965, I was the assistant editor of a little literary magazine called Exit, Urbi et Orbi. Now, I found these magazines. They're worth a fortune because these are the original magazines. There were only four of them. I remember we got a big write-up in the New Yorker or the New York Times as one of the best little magazines of its time. And I was thrilled. I was working with some brilliant young guys in New York. They were really wonderful people. I don't even know where they went. Or, you know, I never kept in touch with them. But I wrote an article in 1965 entitled, Who Is at the Helm? And I'm going to read it to you in part now. You ready for this? Because if this doesn't apply to what's going on in the country today, I don't know what does. Who Is at the Helm by Michael. Here it is. It's a short essay. You want me to read it? Yes or no? Raise your hands in the audience. It's 2 pages long. The next article is Malcolm X. His interview over New York station WBAI-FM with Harry Ring was broadcast January 28, 1965, less than a month before his death. See, you don't realize how diverse my background really is. You could easily typecast people, and you're going to lose an awful lot with your prejudging. That's called prejudice. See, the word prejudice means prejudge. So if you're prejudging me, you're losing an awful lot. So let me read Who Was at the Helm from 1965, and here it goes. Recently it was brought to my attention that Bertrand Russell and a large body of intellectuals delivered a signed article to the British press which said that mankind must immediately undertake to find new sources for its food supply. The group insisted that, should we not immediately act upon this call, we shall find ourselves a species without nourishment. And immediate action was undertaken by the officials in charge. The article was suppressed and appeared in but two British newspapers. The situation related above is indicative of a major problem of mankind. We as a species have not yet insisted that our leaders be men of mind and vision, brains. Imagine then that we, you and I, are cells in a great creature, that is to say one being, mankind, a being that has the basic problems of procuring food and shelter, in addition to the natural obstacles that are common to all living organisms. Then I would like to compare the activities of the mankind creature to those of a simple sea creature and see how each faces the basic problems of living. Perhaps then we, the quote, advanced creature, will be able to see why we have not yet established the sane order of survival for our species. And I went on to compare us to the hydra, a certain type of jellyfish. It's a tiny sea creature with a half-inch body that is excellent for studying because you can observe its activities on a cellular level. And I said, when faced with an enemy, the hydra calls upon cells that are specially equipped for its protection. These cells, the nematoblasts, enclose stinging capsules that have a barbed process of cytoplasm shaped much like a spear. Thus, the problem of defense is met without confusion as to which group of cells is to react. The nematoblasts, which are obviously evolved for the job of defense, are signaled by the creature's nerve network and they act. No helter-skeltering of indecision, just decisive action. You see where I'm going with this article? And it wasn't to discuss the merits of our military system that I did this. It was to show you that there was a certain order within a cell, a simple creature like the hydra, defense cells, etc., inside the simple organism. And then I was talking about we as mankind. And I concluded by saying, just as the hydra survives because its functions are well directed by a nerve network, so must the survival of mankind be directed by a network of minds. Those men who have mastered the powers of the intellect should be duty-bound to serve as brain tissue for the creature called mankind. You see what I'm getting at here? So what am I saying to you? Do you actually believe that conniving, devious, deceitful politicians should serve as our brain tissue? Do you think that the meanest, most devious minds of our generation are equipped to preserve us as a species on this planet? Do you think that men who might be, who might have evolved to be butchers, but instead are politicians, are the best to save this planet and save the people? What am I seeking? I'm seeking peace and harmony. What do you think I really want in the world? If you actually analyze what you do every day, what you really want is peace and harmony. You want to be left alone to do lead your own life the way you best want to lead it, right? Do you want thought control? Do you want Big Sis monitoring you? Do you want surveillance cameras on every corner under the guise of anti-terrorism? Do you want degenerates to strip search you at an airport and tell you they're doing it for your safety? No, you don't want any of that. But we're impotent. We're impotent because our mental adolescence, the mental adolescence of our time, have taken over our life. And frankly, they're self-destructive. And it's all based upon their egotism and their power madness. And I said, I'm going to conclude now. You ready for the conclusion? I wrote this one a long time ago when I was a very, very young guy. Immediately and without delay, instead of adolescent war games, we would undertake those problems which are most basic to our needs as a species. If we continue to be directed without the benefit of our most advanced minds, continuing to follow unreasoning instinct, we will ultimately wipe ourselves from this planet, wrote Michael in the year 1965 in his essay called Who Was at the Helm. So if you listen to what I just said to you, I just dug this up out of the archives, it's hard to believe. I've really been very political for my entire writing career and my entire broadcasting career. In other words, long before I was political in a broadcast sphere, I was political in a written sphere and I didn't even know it. All of my health books, all of my books on nutrition, herbal medicine, homeopathy, etc., are very political because what I was trying to do was awaken the American people to a healthier way of living. Healthier foods, healthier diet, vitamins, minerals, nutrients, herbs. I was 30 years ahead of my time. And it's interesting to me that the, quote, liberals of today, the progressives of today, are the most anti-health food, anti-vitamin segment of our society. Isn't it odd that conservatives seem to love those who raise organic food? The conservatives love pure foods and pure drugs. The conservatives love the vitamin industry. And it's the arch progressives... And I'll name them Waxman, for example, Nostrilman from Southern California, who is the most anti-vitamin congressman in American history. He hates the vitamin industry. Doesn't want you to have control over your own health and your own body. Works like a street corner hustler for the pharmaceutical industry, in my opinion, trying to legislate vitamins out of your control so that you won't even be able to buy a vitamin tablet. You'll have to get it through a drugstore and through a pharmaceutical company. Isn't it interesting that it's the, quote, liberals or the progressives who are trying to crush your freedoms at every turn? When are you going to wake up to the fact that those at the helm are not the best leaders, that those at the helm are better butchers than they are brain cells?